Well, we have a good crowd here this morning. Good to see everyone today, and we're glad that you're with us. And this morning, we're going to be continuing some thoughts that we began last week on the Bible's teaching on modesty. And if you recall, last week, we looked at God's standard for modesty, and we were just thinking about what the Bible says about those things, and we ran out of time, and so we didn't get to the rest of the lesson, and so we're going to finish up that lesson this morning, and we're going to look at some other things related to the topic of modesty. Now, just to familiarize your memory with the content of last week's sermon, we started with Genesis chapter 3 and verses 7 through 10 and noted how that Adam and Eve, after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they realized that they were naked. And so they sewed together fig leaves, the Bible says. But even when it was time for God to appear in the garden with them, they still thought that they were naked and they hid themselves. And God asked them how they knew they were naked, and they replied that they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and as a result of that, they were cursed. But then the text tells us that God sewed together or made for them coats of skin. And these coats, the Hebrew word for coat there indicates that they were covered from the shoulders down to the knees. And that this is then God's standard for modest dress. The fig leaves were not acceptable to the Lord. The fig leaves would not cover up Adam and Eve like they needed to be covered. And so God then made them the clothing that they needed to wear so that they could be covered up and not be naked. And so as we looked at this standard, we saw that God did this in Genesis 3 and verse 21. He also appointed standards of clothing for the Israelites in the Old Testament. He did not want the priests going up onto an altar and exposing their nakedness from underneath. And so he told them that they had to make for themselves clothing and what the Bible calls breeches, or what we would say today, breeches. In other words, a pair of clothing that would cover one's parts that would otherwise be exposed underneath a kind of a girdle that they wore in that day and time. And so they were not to expose themselves in that way, the priests, as they were offering worship to God. And this was for a reason, because not only was it immodest for them to do that, but also the foreign idolatrous priests inculcated immodesty, lewdness, immorality, lasciviousness, and all kinds of evil and wicked things in their sinful practices of worship. And God did not want the worship that the Israelites practiced to be anything like that other kind of worship. We turn to the New Testament and we noted that God has a standard of dress for women in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verses 9 and 10. In like manner, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly arrangement. So the standard that we find from looking at Genesis chapter 3, from God's standard for his priests, and from here in the New Testament, is that in order for us to be modest, we need to have our bodies covered from our shoulders to our knees. That our body needs to be covered in a way that it won't be exposed, and so that it doesn't draw unwarranted or unnecessary attention to our physical features. And so in the church, God expects our attire to be modest attire. Now, this is not to say that we're going to lay out a judgment seat and that in order to come in, you have to pass the judgment seat. We're not going to do that. This is between you and God. It's between me and God. If there are those who enter in that the elders deem need more clothing, that'll be between the elders and those people. It won't be between us and them. And the elders have the responsibility then in that regard. So we're not talking about judging those who are poor either, because James makes it clear in James chapter 2 and verses 2 through 3 that those who are poor and do not have attire that they can wear are not to be judged. But we need to respect God's authority. He is the head of Christ. We need to respect Christ's authority. Christ is the head of the church. Women and children need to respect the authority that are their husbands and their parents, as 1 Corinthians 11 verses 2 through 16 makes clear. And in that regard, the clothing that we wear will either show respect toward our authority, or it will not show respect toward our authority. And if it doesn't show respect toward our authority, then that clothing is clothing we should not be wearing. And so God has a standard for modesty, and we need to follow that standard for modesty. Now this morning, what I would like for us to think about are the consequences of dressing immodestly, because there are direct consequences of that. And you might think, well, what difference does it make what kind of clothes that I wear and who sees those clothes and things of that nature? Well, it's just like the words that we speak can make a difference in other people's life. The actions that we take can make a difference in other people's lives. And the clothing that we wear is a kind of a statement, if you will, about how we respect ourselves and how we respect other people. And so it is a matter of expression. The clothing that we wear is an expression of ourselves, and we are saying something by the clothing that we wear and we put on. And that statement that we make by the clothing that we wear, the clothing that we put on, has consequences. Just like if I were to say certain words, that those words would have consequences. Or if I were to behave in a certain way, that that behavior would have consequences. And some of the consequences that the Bible talks about when it comes to dressing in a way that is not appropriate or in a way that is immodest are along these lines. First of all, when we dress in an immodest or an inappropriate way, it can incite sexual lust. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that everyone that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And so those who look on others to lust after them can commit the sin of adultery of the heart, as Jesus said here in Matthew 5 and verse 28. And our clothing can either facilitate that lust, or it can de-emphasize it. It can downgrade it so that that lust is not there. Yes, our clothing can incite other people to lust and commit the sin of adultery. You think about the world of pornography. The world of pornography is simply a world that is built on immodesty. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, John says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever." And so the world wants to lust. The world desires to look on immodestly dressed people. But that world is not of the Father. And if we participate in that world, then we're not of the Father either. We need to put aside such things. We shouldn't dress in such a way so as to engage in or even view, for that matter, pornography. When we dress immodestly, it incites undesired sexual advances. Years ago, there was, back in the early 90s, a great emphasis placed upon the idea of sexual harassment. And sexual harassment is a sin. It is a sin when it is unwanted, and it is a sin even when it is wanted, for that matter. No Christian ought to engage in sexual harassment. But when we dress immodestly, we can certainly be providing an opportunity for sexual harassment. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4 says that we should not engage in talk that is characterized as being filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not befitting, but rather giving of thanks. There are certain clothings that a person may wear so as to invite conversation. And we should not be wearing that kind of clothing. If we dress in an immodest way, that will also create the sin and can create the sin of lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? It is the unchaste handling between men and women or others. In Galatians 5 and verse 19, Paul wrote these words, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." You'll notice that lasciviousness is part and parcel of this sexual sin category. And one can so dress oneself, that is to wear attire that is lascivious in manner and in nature. We ought not to be dressing in a lascivious way, a way that encourages unchaste handling. Fornication is another sin that immodest dress can and will facilitate. Ephesians 5 verse 3 says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness," that is even the desire for others in that way, "let it not even be named among you as become a saints." Christians are not to engage in that behavior, not to dress in such a way so as to encourage that behavior, not to live in such a way so as to desire that kind of behavior. Lascivious fornication, and even today, homosexuality, we should be concerned about. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." I do not want to address in such a way that would encourage homosexual behavior. And that is another way for us to consider and think about the consequences of immodesty. Of course, immodesty has also been responsible for adultery. Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, "Let marriage be had in honor among all, and let the bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge." For those who look at pornography, it isn't too long before they start becoming involved in other areas in which they shouldn't be involved. And one of those areas would be adultery. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, we also consider that Paul talks there about fornication and how that even dressing immodestly would be a way in which one could justify, sinfully of course, the unwanted situation where one would engage in fornication in an unwanted way. We call it rape sometimes. We don't want to dress in such a way that would facilitate that kind of thinking or that kind of situation or that kind of circumstance. Just as we put locks on our doors to keep people out that we don't want coming in our houses, we need to put a lock on our body and dressing in a certain way that will keep people out, that will dissuade them, that discourage them from making such sinful advances toward us. Now consider that all of these things and more could be consequences of dressing immodestly. Now think about 2 Samuel chapter 11 here. And here is David, a man that the Bible calls a man after God's own heart, whom God himself selected to be king over Israel. But when he looked at someone who was dressed immodestly, it created all kinds of problems as a result of that. This is 2 Samuel 11 and verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Now all of that could have been avoided if Bathsheba hadn't been dressed immodestly. It could have been avoided if David hadn't lusted after her as well, if he hadn't sent for her. And I'm not saying David isn't to blame here, but it takes, as the old saying goes, it takes two to tango. And this was a situation where it took two in order for things to progress. And so because of immodesty, at least in part, we have the sin of adultery. We have now a child involved in this situation because of the sin of immodesty. We have David then taking up the sword and using that against Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, because of the sin of immodesty. We have David creating a situation where he causes Uriah to get drunk because of the sin of immodesty. So many sins follow, you see, from this one sin that the Bible discusses here. And so we need to think about the consequences of what might happen if we dress in an immodest way. And today there are so many consequences that could occur. Diseases, unwanted pregnancies, even in the case of David, murder, and maybe even in the case of people today, drug abuse, and other consequences that could happen as a result of someone engaging with and in immodesty. And so we don't want to be part of that as Christians. We don't want to dress like that. We don't want to look at things like that. We don't want to be involved in those kinds of situations. Ultimately, of course, the final and last consequence of living a life of immodesty would be condemnation and eternal separation from God. One would forfeit one's good relationship with God by offending God's holiness, and one would thereby be separated eternally. Immodesty is the root of much evil in this world, and much could be averted if we would simply dress in a modest way. Now, this is something we've all got to wrestle with. We've all got to work on it. We've all got to understand what God's standard is and then apply it to ourselves personally. And then if we have children, we need to make sure that our children know what this standard is. This is not my word. This is not the word of the elders. This is not the word of men. This is the word of God that we're talking about. The standard that God gives, the consequences that result from it all come from the word of God. And so therefore we need to uphold what is right and oppose what is wrong. And in this case, it means that we need to uphold modesty and put away from us immodesty. We should dress in a way that is modest and not immodest. We don't want to create stumbling blocks for other people. Think about 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." If we are going to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, then we need our attire to be modest attire, so as not to put a stumbling block in front of our brother or sister. In Romans 14 and verse 13, we read, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." And so we need to make sure that when we're dressed, that it is appropriate and it's not going to put that stumbling block or cause one of our brothers or sisters to fall as a result of it. In Philippians 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world." Does our attire reflect the truth that is presented in Philippians 2:15? That we are to be seen as lights in the world? That we are blameless thereby and harmless thereby? Does our attire reflect the fact that we are children of God? Those are questions that each one of us should ask ourselves as we go forth into this world. Moreover, we do not need to frequent places that are known for immodesty. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, Peter said of Christians who no longer participated in the events of the world, he said that those in the world think it strange that you run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. The implication of that verse is that those who became Christians in the New Testament, they separated themselves from those worldly and sinful behaviors that they used to participate in, and that those friends of theirs who they had, who were worldly friends and who participated in sin, that those friends then mocked them for that, questioned them for that, made fun of them for doing that. They thought it was strange that they stopped doing those wicked and sinful things. Well, we are in the same situation as Christians. We've got to separate ourselves from wicked and sinful things and not participate in them, including areas of immodesty. We should not attend events or look at things that glorify immodesty. And we need to talk to one another. And I'm talking about amongst our families, amongst our parents, our grandparents. We need to talk about what is appropriate dress and what is not appropriate dress. Let those conversations be had so that those who are spiritually mature in the faith can instruct those of us who are younger in the faith on what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. And we need to respect our authorities in that regard. And we need to make efforts that promote modesty and not immodesty. Think about 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 10 through 12. It says, "For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil." And so let's refrain from doing evil. Let's refrain our tongues from doing evil. Let's refrain our actions from doing evil. Let's refrain our dress from doing evil, as Peter encourages us to do. Now, this lesson hasn't been given to target any particular person. I'm not talking about any particular example of anyone of any kind, but rather just looking at what the Bible says about these things and thinking about how we can apply those things to our lives. The Bible has a teaching on modesty. God has a standard. We learn that standard from Genesis chapter 3, from the things that he said to his priests in the books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and from what we read in the New Testament about standards that God has for dress. We looked at some consequences that can be very impactful to each one of our lives if we so dress in an immodest and immoral way. And then we've talked about how we need to uphold modesty and to put away immodesty from our lives, because we don't want to be a stumbling block to others, because we don't want to participate in the evil that the world participates in, and because we want to love life and see good days, as Peter encourages us to do. And so let's not forget the lesson that God taught Adam and Eve there in Genesis chapter 3 about modesty. Those fig leaves were not sufficient. God did not tell them, "Hey, you've done a good job of covering up." He made for them coats of skin that covered them from their shoulders down to their knees. And that's the standard of modesty that we need to uphold today. Now, we've been talking about matters of morality here, and matters of morality are something that the church must uphold. In our Bible class this morning, we're thinking about that which is moral versus that which is immoral, and how the world, by and large, doesn't seem to care about morality anymore. Most of the world thinks that morality is just a matter of personal preference. Like the flavor of ice cream that you like, chocolate or vanilla. Many think that way. But the Bible says there is a standard of morality. And we've got to follow that standard. It's not up to us. It's God who gives us that standard of morality. And we need to obey it. Well, God has given us His standard in the Bible. And He has shown us what is right and what is wrong. And through Jesus Christ, He has exemplified that standard. And if we have lived in a way that goes against that standard, then we need to make some changes within our lives. Maybe you're not a Christian. And maybe you realize, you know what, there is a standard of morality, and we do need to follow that standard. And you want to learn more about that standard this morning. We'd be happy to talk with you more and study with you more. Or maybe as one who has studied the Bible, you've heard the Word of God and come to believe it. You realize that you need to repent of your sins and confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins this morning. We'll help you in that regard. Or maybe you're a Christian who needs the help of the church in prayer and living a moral and modest life. And you'd like to ask for prayers this morning, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you. I certainly would solicit your prayers to pray for me each and every day as I seek to uphold God's standard within my life. And I will pray for you as you seek to uphold God's standard in your life. And so let's seek to abide by that standard, whatever it might be, whether it's the standard of morality, standard of salvation, the standard of the church, whatever the standard might be, let's uphold that standard. And instead of bringing that standard down to accommodate our behavior, let's elevate our behavior to the standard so that we can be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And so this morning, if there's anyone who has a need that you'd like to make known, you can come forward and do that right now while together we stand and while we sing.